Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're getting into something really quite critical in pediatric care. We're looking at delirium, specifically in young kids after open heart surgery, when they're in the ICU. We've got a really interesting study to guide us here.
That's right. It's a recent one from the Current Journal of Neurology, published just this year, 2024. And our mission really is to unpack what this study tells us about how common delirium is in these children, and maybe what factors seem to be linked to it.
Exactly. Because, you know, the big worry is that delirium, especially after such a huge operation, might mean longer hospital stays, maybe other problems later on. So let's start with the headline number. How often did this study actually find delirium happening?
Okay, so they looked at 92 kids. These were all children admitted to the open heart ICU, the OHICU, for longer than 48 hours. And what they found was, well, pretty significant. 37% of them developed delirium, over a third.
Wow, 37%. That feels quite high. How does that stack up against, say, adults having similar surgeries?
Yeah, it does seem high. The study authors mentioned that the rate in adults after cardiac surgery is estimated more around 28.5%. So, yeah, it definitely raises a flag. Why might it be more common in these young children?
That's a key question, isn't it? And does that 37% fit with what we see in pediatric ICUs more generally, or is it specific to the heart surgery group?
It falls within the sort of known range for pediatric ICUs, which the paper says can be anywhere from 20% up to 60%. It's a wide range. But being at 37% sort of towards the higher end, especially after this specific major surgery, it really tells you this is a serious issue in this particular setting.
Right. Okay, so we know it's common. How did the researchers actually identify it? How did they know which kids had delirium?
They used a specific tool called the Cornell Assessment of Pediatric Delirium, the CAPD. Basically, trained nurses used it to observe the kids. They looked at things related to, you know, awareness, cognition, 8 different points. They did these checks twice a day. If a child scored 9 or more, that was the indicator for delirium.
So regular checks by the nurses using this specific scale, that sounds crucial for actually catching it. And besides just checking for delirium, what other info did they collect on these kids?
Oh, they gathered quite a bit. The usual demographic stuff, like age and sex, of course, but also things like how long they stayed in the OHICU, any complications they had, their delirium status, obviously, based on the CIPD scores, and then a whole bunch of other potential factors, how long they needed a ventilator, their specific heart condition, even where their central line was placed. Stuff like that.
Okay, trying to get the full picture. So they're looking for patterns, right? Connections between all these things and whether delirium showed up. Let's get into those findings. Right. What were the first things that jumped out when they did that initial analysis?
Yeah, the first look at the univariable analysis showed some pretty clear links. Age was a big one. Younger age was significantly associated with delirium. The average age for kids with delirium was only 12 months. For those without, it was more like 32, almost 33 months. And way more kids under 2 years old got delirium compared to the older ones in the study, something like 79% versus 57%.
That's a really striking age difference. It really points to the very youngest being most vulnerable, doesn't it? What else popped up in that initial look?
Lower weight was also linked. The kids with delirium weighed less on average, about 7 kilos, compared to 10.5 kilos for those without. And then, maybe less surprisingly, needing the ventilator for longer and just staying in the OHICU for longer were also significantly associated with delirium.
That kind of makes intuitive sense, you know? The longer you're in that intense environment, the more potential stress. But then they did the more complex analysis, the multivariable one, looking at how factors interact. What changed then?
Right. And this is where it gets really interesting, might be a bit more nuanced. So when they adjusted for everything else, younger age still held up. Younger kids were definitely more likely to get delirium. The odds went down as age went up each month. But sex also became significant here. Girls in this study were actually more likely to develop delirium than boys.
Oh, interesting. Girls more likely, was that expected?
Well, the authors actually mentioned that this finding about sex kind of goes against some other research out there. Sometimes studies find no difference or even the opposite. So that's definitely something that needs more looking into why that might be the case here.
Okay. And what about weight? You said lower weight was linked initially. Did that stay true when they looked at everything together?
This is probably the most surprising twist, actually. In the multivariable analysis, that relationship with weight flipped. After accounting for things like age and sex, they found that for every extra kilogram of weight, the odds of delirium actually increased slightly.
Whoa, hang on. So higher weight was linked to more delirium in the final analysis. That seems completely counterintuitive compared to the first result.
It does, doesn't it? It really highlights how complex these things are.
Mm.
Maybe, you know, in the tiniest babies, the sheer burden of being so small and sick is the main driver. But maybe in slightly bigger infants, other things associated with higher weight metabolic factors perhaps come into play differently when you adjust for age. It's puzzling.
That's a fascinating complexity. It shows you really can't just look at one factor alone. So what about ventilation time and length of stay? Did those initial links hold up in the multivariable part?
No. Interestingly, they didn't. Once they accounted for the other factors like age and sex and this weird weight finding, the duration of ventilation and the length of ICU stay were no longer statistically significant predictors on their own.
Right. So it suggests they might be related, but maybe they're tied up with other things like how sick the child is overall or their age rather than being independent causes once you account for those.
Exactly. It points towards a more tangled web of factors rather than just saying longer ventilation equals delirium. Mm. It's not quite that simple, it seems.
Okay. So boiling down that complex analysis, younger age, being female, and weirdly, higher weight were the main independent factors this study flagged. What about some of the other clinical details they looked at, like the type of heart defect or how risky the surgery itself was?
Yeah, they looked at that. The specific type of heart problem VSD was most common didn't seem to make a difference in delirium risk. Neither did the ARI-CHS1 score, which basically ranks how complex or risky the heart surgery is. And even where they put the central line, that didn't show a significant link either, not in this study population.
And complications after surgery, like vomiting or other issues, did that increase the chance of delirium?
In that initial analysis, the univariable one, they didn't find a significant connection between having those kinds of post-op complications and developing delirium.
Okay, so putting it all together, it looks like the youngest kids, and particularly girls in this group, were most at risk. And this complicated picture with weight, did the researchers offer any thoughts on why these things might be linked? What could be going on?
They did offer some potential explanations. For the generally higher rate in kids versus adults after heart surgery, they pointed to factors common in congenital heart disease, things like maybe chronic low oxygen levels before surgery, nutrition problems, oxidative stress, plus the effects of the surgery itself, the cardiopulmonary bypass machine, blood transfusions. They think maybe these things make young brains more vulnerable.
That makes sense. Those are huge physiological stresses for a small child. What about the specific link with younger age?
That finding, they noted, lines up pretty well with other studies in pediatric ICUs. It seems widely observed that younger children are more susceptible. Maybe their brains are just more sensitive to all the disruption that happens in intensive care.
And the finding about girls being more susceptible, the one that seemed a bit unexpected.
Yeah, they acknowledged that it was a bit different from some other findings. They basically said, look, this is what we found in our group, but we need more research to figure out if there are real biological or physiological reasons behind this, or if it's specific to this context.
Fair enough. And what about the length of stay and ventilation time? Even though they weren't independent predictors in the end, did the researchers comment on how they might fit into the picture?
Yes, they talked about a possible two-way street there, like a feedback loop. It could be that a longer, tougher recovery needing more ventilation time increases the risk for delirium. But it's also very possible that developing delirium makes the recovery more complicated, which then leads to longer ventilation and a longer ICU stay. Disentangling that cause and effect needs more investigation.
Right, the chicken and egg problem. Okay, this has been a really insightful look at this study. Let's just quickly recap the absolute key messages.
Sure. I think the main takeaways are delirium's pretty common, hitting over a third of these kids after open heart surgery in this study. Key risk factors seem to be being younger, being female, and this complex relationship with weight where higher weight was linked after adjustments.
And because it's common and potentially serious, the study authors had a clear recommendation, right?
Absolutely. They strongly recommended routine, consistent screening for delirium in these pediatric heart ICUs,
mm-hmm.
You know, using tools like the CAPD, because catching it early is probably key to managing it and hopefully improving how these kids recover.
Makes total sense. Now, no study is perfect. Did the researchers mention any limitations to their own work?
They did. They were upfront about it being a single center study, so you have to be careful about applying the findings everywhere. They also noted some wide confidence intervals in the stats, possibly because of the number of patients in some groups. Larger studies might give firmer answers. And importantly, they focused on kids who were already off the ventilator and not sedated. So the findings might not directly apply to kids who are still intubated or heavily sedated.
Those are important points to keep in mind when you think about these results. And thinking ahead, what did they suggest researchers should look into next?
A couple of main things. One was definitely looking at the role of medications, especially opioids used for pain. How do they influence delirium risk in these kids? And the other big one was the need for longer-term studies. We need to understand what happens down the road for children who experience delirium in the ICU. Does it affect their development or neurological outcomes later on?
Yeah, understanding those long-term impacts feels absolutely crucial. So as we wrap up this deep dive, here's a thought to leave you with. We've seen delirium is common in these very young patients, especially girls, with this odd weight connection emerging. What does this actually mean for the teams on the ground? How should this change the way we monitor these kids right after surgery? And could we maybe start tailoring preventative steps based on these specific risks, age, sex, maybe even weight in some way? Lots to think about there.
Definitely. It really highlights the need for vigilance, more research, and a real focus on preventing and managing delirium in this incredibly vulnerable group of children.